You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're announcing Mayank Bhatnagar as an upcoming author in one of our upcoming Mission Matters book releases. So Mayank is the Director of Business and Technology Strategy over at Accenture. Mayank, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right. So thrilled to have you on the show. Been waiting a long time for this and excited to get your book out and launched. And for everybody that's watching this, we're going to cover the book a little bit today, but we're not going to go too far because we will be bringing Mayank back onto the show when the book is actually live so that we can do a real big deep dive into his writing and really just explore that as well. So, but to get us kicked off, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Mayank, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Mayank, what mission matters to you?
Thanks, Adam. That's a really good question. For me, I focus on tech innovation and bringing new customer experiences to life in my job. And personally, that is something that has mattered to me since I got into the professional work. And personally, while talking to you and the audience here, I'd love to share my journey from the past two decades within the work in mobile and wireless that I've been doing. And frankly, we've been fortunate living in these times where our lives have transformed so much in the last two decades, for the good, hopefully. And we have seen some biggest wireless transformation that we'll talk about moving forward, but that has been my mission.
It's awesome. Love bringing mission-based individuals on the line to share, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and, why they're doing it as well. What can we all learn and how can we grow from that information? So great to have you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off, so you mentioned, multiple decades in the wireless industry. I guess, where did this fascination go with just technology in general? Like, were you born out of the crib, like taking the batteries out of the remote control? Like where did it come from for you?
Look, I started as an electrical engineer as my basis and building circuits when I started my career. And I'm talking late 90s. And in that time, I got my first opportunity to work with a company called Nokia, which was supposed to be one of the best wireless companies at that time. Wow. And they wanted us to build a wireless browser in the phone. And at that time, the phone's the screen was 1 inch by 1 inch. And we were thinking, why do we need a browser on a phone?
Yeah. Okay. So for all of our, I don't want to pass that one. So for all of our younger audience that can't imagine this with your big old iPhones and Samsungs, can you imagine a 1 inch by 1 inch? I heard that right, right?
Yeah, that's right. Some even smaller actually, but yeah, so that was my first take into the wireless industry. And then I was very fascinated by getting connectivity on the device because when I bought my first mobile phone, there was no connectivity. All I could do was phone calls in the late 90s. I was with a company that built browsers for Nokia. And then we built the browser for Nokia, we also built a lot of applications and a lot of websites for that browser. So that was my first foray into this industry. And we had no idea about the potential of wireless browsing on a cell phone in late 90s. And today it's a norm. Kids are born with those browsers on beautiful touchscreen devices, but not 22 years ago.
Yeah. And so, I mean, taking yourself back to those early days, like just thinking about it, obviously what you were doing was pretty groundbreaking. Like even with Nokia, like if you think about the time and just the thought process and people using it as a tool, like what was interesting to you about the environment back then? If I can keep you back there a little bit longer, like was there this idea that something bigger was on the horizon? Like how did that look back then?
It looked pretty widespread. When we got into this industry, there were very few wireless devices, and there were other companies like Palm and Windows and Microsoft. They were making Palm Pilots and Pocket PCs. They were trying to create compute devices which were smaller and people could move around with them. Mm-hmm. At that time, our computers were big. We didn't have many laptops. So what we used to travel with is basically a very heavy machine if we are traveling. And then we were all looking for smaller gadgets to travel with. So we thought there was a market to carry small devices, but there was not enough compute power in those devices. All we could do was basic browsing. So what intrigued me at that time was connectivity. It was basic connectivity that was not available on those devices, which is internet we call today. And we were just getting there, where we were getting smaller dial-up modems connecting to those little devices and getting 10 to 50 kilobits per second kind of speeds. And, you know, if you see Yahoo or Google on it, that was a home run already. So we thought it has a good future as long as we grow on that connectivity. And now we call it hyperconnectivity after 20-something years. But, you know, with time, I'll go into deeper how we got from base connectivity into hyperconnectivity. Yeah. But that's what intrigued us at that point.
So I was trying to make an analogy or metaphor on this of like what connectivity means. I'm going to butcher it, and then I want you to pick up from it and add some color and some flavor with your expertise. So I was trying to think about this. So the old school Nokia phones and things like that, because I had one pretty early on. Like I still remember my plan back in the day, $49.99 for the Freedom America plan, 500 minutes per month. I still remember that phone, and it was a great phone. So that was probably, I mean, early 2000s, or maybe it was late 90s. Actually, probably late 90s, actually. But that being said, when I think connectivity, I think like you're driving around or something, you can't, like your phone doesn't have reception, or you're trying to get, you know, make a call or do something else and you can't quite get through. Is that like, explain to us connectivity and like why the importance of that like matters.
Absolutely. And you rightly said, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, we had those phones and which had base connectivity. What I mean by that is, all you could do is basic browsing and maybe call some people. You had 500 minutes because calling on voice used to be very expensive. So when we moved up from connectivity channel from that point, we used to call that network a 2G network. And then we became 3G, then we went to 4G. So the way I like to see it is as currencies, every network gave us a new currency. Mm. When we bought those phones in 2G, we bought voice for limited minutes and limited browsing. Mm. We went to 3G, we became better at browsing, but we became really better at having emails on the phone. Then came BlackBerries of the world and bigger devices that you can send emails with, which was a game changer in those times, right? And then we moved over to 4G. Then we did faster browsing. We brought gaming and video and TV and social, all of that to the device. So at that point, we got connectivity to a level where people were basically browsing more than they were talking. At that point, our voice plans became unlimited. Our texting became unlimited at no cost. But then our cost became the data that we use on the device. So that's when you would see wireless carriers charging us for more data and no charge for voice and text. So we had every 7 to 10 years, we had this progression of getting better and better in connectivity. And that's where we see the market. And now we are already investing in 5G, which is even a faster network. And you know, we are thinking about autonomous cars. We're thinking about drones. We're thinking about business transformations, having private networks that'll supercharge your offices with 1 gig download speeds. It opens up brand new sets of use cases. And that's what we're working on, Adam, today. That what will this new connectivity model get you as a customer, as a business owner, as an enterprise?
Yeah, it really does. And it's exciting to me. Like when I see the progress, when I see it's just what's just happened in our lifetime so far in this like short little period of 20 years, like I'm excited to see what goes next. But that being said, I have to share something very personal with you, Mayank. I was a BlackBerry holdout. I did like how the buttons pushed and I was like, I'm not getting one of these phones with no buttons. Like I was a holdout, man. I loved my BlackBerry. Had to share that with you.
I had it too. I had a couple of models of BlackBerry. I love the device.
My first iPhone was a gift, and Matt gave it to me, one of our director of agency, and he says, Adam, you have to have an iPhone. You have to change. Like you can't have your buttons anymore. Here you go. They gave it to me as a Christmas present and his family. Like they forced me off of my BlackBerry. I'm like, fine, I'll do it. I digress. All right. So Mayank, I do want to spend, before we kind of go further here, and I do want to talk about your work at Accenture, of course, and a little bit further, we'll get into that as well. But I'd like to pause for a moment here and just spend a moment or two talking about the upcoming book. So as I mentioned in the beginning of this interview, we're not going to give it all away because we'll be bringing you back on the show to do a deep dive into your writing. But give us a flavor for some of the things that you plan on presenting in the upcoming release.
Absolutely. I'll be very honest. In the upcoming book, we'll be discussing about newer innovations that we are looking and we are working on for the next couple of decades. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking transformational changes, some base transformation changes that we think that will change the industry forever. Mm-hmm. When we see the last 100 years of innovation that has happened, compared to the last 20 years of innovation that has happened, I'll give you two examples, simple examples. And there are many of those which are in the book. But two of those examples, the first example I would like to give everybody is how we work with satellites in the past. It's been 100 years. We've been to the moon. We've done a lot of satellite launches. And in the last 20 years, we have connected satellites to cell phones. And people are able to communicate via satellite using their regular cell phones and not using satellite phones. That's a huge transformation. And the other one is basically autonomous cars. I mean, think about it, right? We've been having these cars for 100 plus years with the same exact similar type of engines and similar types of working driving models. And now we are talking autonomy. We are talking wireless networks covering autonomy of cars, which means they can be driven without drivers. That's a big change. In the last 20 years, we have done a lot of progress on that. Accenture has done a lot of work in that, which I'll cover in the book. And we work with almost every provider in North America that can enable. And again, when I say autonomous cars, and when I say satellite, it's not just one company or two companies. It's cities, it's infrastructure, it's your devices, it's your homes, it's it's all the things that you buy within that community that will collaborate and make that happen. Just the car itself will not make it happen. The car work with the infrastructure around it. So we are in the business of building that, like I said, hyper-connectivity so that all devices interact with each other and that'll be a different way of living. So those are a few examples I thought I'd sprinkle in, and you'll see more of them.
I'll cut you off there because I'm excited and I can't wait to dive into more of the content. That's all we want. And we want to give the audience a little bit of a taste because why? Well, we want to bring you back, but we also sell books. So don't worry. We'll be doing that as well. I want to jump around here a bit and tell us a little bit more about Accenture and the work you're doing.
Absolutely. So I focus on the communications and telco industry within Accenture, and our typical strategy projects span across anything that wireless telecommunication providers touch. Yeah. And as of now, we used to think about wireless providers as providing a cell phone service. But at this point, wireless providers are providing almost any service you can imagine. So we think about, when we think about cable internet that used to be connected fiber to your home or DSL to your home, we are seeing wireless companies like T-Mobile and Verizon giving you wireless internet, which means you can buy a fixed wireless connection from these companies and do not have to have a wired connection to your home, which means when you travel out, you can carry it with you. So that we call fixed wireless Wi-Fi, which is interesting to you, right? Because you can carry it in your car and work everywhere. So those are some simple things that we do with carriers. We also work in automating your devices, automating your homes, automating your businesses, saving energy, saving money, things of that nature. We call it smart home. Some people call it intelligent home. Those are a few examples I can give you. The other one we are working very closely on is the metaverse. We are very excited about this new virtual augmented reality world that we are building, which is the next level of internet on Web3 and crypto and all the new jargon that you might have heard. So that is something that we're working on as a future enabler. Those are just a few examples I'll give you that Accenture is working on really, really deeper.
And the metaverse part of things, like you're doing some big work there. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, like you've introduced quite a few people to the metaverse. Am I off on that?
No, you're absolutely right. I think we just did a press release a few days ago. We onboarded 150,000 of our employees on the metaverse. And it was funny because we hired those people in the company, and our offices were closed because of COVID. We could not get anybody to the office. So we built this onboarding application in the metaverse. And everybody who joined the company actually got onboarded on the metaverse. So think about HR, think about training, think about ethics and compliance policies. Yeah. We went through all those things with our colleagues within the metaverse. And that was the biggest I think in our industry, we were one of the biggest metaverse, deployers, as we're saying, that the proponent of it. And we are working really hard on it as we speak.
What kind of, you have a unique vantage point, not just because of your background, but also just for, where you sit working with Accenture and otherwise where you started. Like, what trend interests you right now? What's going on in your industry that you're like, I know a lot of things are going on, by the way, but what really gets you excited right now?
So the trends are, I think the convergence and divergence. So going back to the second decade before today, right, when we had all these devices. The reason your friend gifted you the iPhone and you probably still use it is because what does it do for you? We used to have fax machines. We used to have scanners. We used to have cameras. We used to have a lot of those devices. And now we have just an iPhone. It actually converged. All those devices converged into a single piece of device. And then that's the value. And that's a trend we saw. And people loved from BlackBerry. We went to touchscreens and it gave us so much value. Now we are seeing a divergence again. Now we are seeing people trying to buy other devices in addition to that one single smartphone, which could be a smartwatch, it could be a smart ring, it could be a health meter, it could be a sleep tracker, it could be a dog monitor, pet tracker, things like that. So we are again seeing a divergence in the industry where people are looking for these sophisticated, low-power devices that can change their ways and habits of daily routine. So we are seeing that convergence and divergence happening right now. And our challenge is to bring that ecosystem together. And if we give you that ecosystem, how will you sustain it? So those are the trends that we are looking at.
And what I see about everything that you mentioned, just in general, is that it improves the quality of living and improves the quality of life. Like, I still go back to like thinking about my first phone, right? I remember my parents getting it for me or me having it. And I was pretty young. And it's just, if there was an emergency, like if there's an emergency, we want you to be able to call us. We want you to be able to we want to be able to pick up. And I remember like those were some of the ways that this started, was just on that basic level. But then over time, obviously, you incorporate the technology change. And I feel like it's just really added to all of our quality of living in many ways. So now when you're talking about these devices and wearing a device and all of this, like especially some of the things that's being done on the health side of things, as you mentioned, like I know there's wearable devices now that are, because of connectivity, because of the way they work, like literally saving people's lives, like literally, like whether it's monitoring or whether it's, first response or whatever it is, but a lot of different ways in that market. But we have really not the ability now to just improve lives, but to save lives too.
Absolutely. You see how Apple Watch and other watch providers treat that 911 call, that you don't have to dial it if there's an emergency. The watch dialed it for you. If you're lost in the woods and you don't have connection, the satellite connection may help you. So wow. I think those are things that are coming, and these are becoming interestingly important. A few years ago, they were important too. It's just that it was not affordable. At this time, we are making it affordable, and wireless carriers are doing all it takes. And at Accenture, we are making that ecosystem happen with all of our providers. We work with healthcare companies to make sure that we are HIPAA compliant in all the offering we have for healthcare. We work with financial companies so that we are, FINRA compliant and all the others to make those kind of products. And we work with all the wireless companies to make it happen. So that's our value in the industry generally.
Another thing that interests me about your background and just, again, your vantage point is, you've gone from, everything from the small startup, let's just say in the early, early days, right? All the way up until, huge companies, right? So when you think about something like that and what you're doing at Accenture, like having the vantage point of seeing all of those different transitions and let's just say everything in between through the years, like what type of leadership skills, like what does it take to operate well in these types of environments?
That's a great question. And while I spanned in the last 2.5 decades within different types of companies, I've been fortunate to work with really good leaders and also fortunate to create a team, multiple teams, in fact, in the last 2 decades. So I'll basically focus on 4 main points that I learned out of my experience. The number one is culture and communication. It's very important to define a culture in your team, in the company, for continuous growth within the teams. And the culture is so critical because people like to, communicate, but they also want to understand what culture you are proposing within the team. Mm. And then you got to communicate. You got to listen to the issues. You have to invest in development. You have to invest in training of employees and your colleagues. You have to make sure you have growth tracks and recognize them. And especially, your colleagues come from various geographies and different cultures. And at some point, I had teams in 7 countries at the same time. So I had to learn how to adapt to those cultures and make sure I'm responsible and making sure the balance of the culture and how we can make the teams work was critical. So that's where cultural and communication is a key to get those teams in. And then the other one is family values alongside professional values. So one thing I've noticed, because I've handled teams more than 100, 200 people, and now I'm also handling teams, smaller teams as well. The common goal in the people, we have to have a decent balance between professional life and work life and family life, because I can't advocate one over the other, because if one is better than the other, then somebody has to suffer. So I always advocate a decent balance between family values and professional values, so that the balance is there. And the third one is accountability. Once you have the team, you got to keep them accountable. You got to make sure that, it's not the I did my part situation. It should be, can we work together to make it happen? How could we collaborate? How could we help? So the whole going back to the culture and then keeping them accountable. So it doesn't look like somebody is taking on him or her to get it done. It has to be a team effort. And that makes a big difference in working in a cohesive team environment. So those are a few things I've learned along the way while in companies.
It's interesting to me. And so the culture side of things, I want to stick on that a little bit longer, because we're, big culture people here at Mission Matters. And I've just found that whether it's a small, a small company or even a very large company, like that idea of culture and kind of starting there is one of the things that can, it's kind of some of that, it's like that magic or that glue or that thing that holds an organization together. What is culture really meant for you in your career? Because you've seen multiple within your, within your tenure.
Yeah. So I think it is high up there. It matters pretty much in the top 3 tiers. And having a very open culture and a transparent culture within my team and not having a pyramid structure where, people don't ever think before talking to their peers or their seniors or their other team members is vital. It's important. We have to be transparent. We have to be vocal. And we also have to be listening into everybody else around us. That has to be a very, very ingrained culture with everybody that you work with, because that's not there, then somewhere or the other, we lose that connectivity track or lose that. We want to make sure that people grow. People are always vocal about what they want and what they're working on and how can they share what they learn. And I'm a big proponent of keeping our learning transparent as well. So you would see in bigger teams, some people are learning more than the others. And that creates a good learning environment. But giving back is a pretty important part of our cultural stickiness, so that when we learn something, we give it back to create our own copies per se with other people so we can grow together. So I've done that for the last 10, 15 years, and I've seen that very, very effective in growing our team and getting them to stick together.
Well, Mayank, first off, it has been awesome having you on the show. I'm thrilled to have you in the upcoming book. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate you making time. I just have to ask, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next? I think you just came from a conference. You're going to a conference. I mean, I can't keep track of you. I just try to get you booked. I mean, what's next?
So, yes, so that's a good point. So we go to a bunch of conferences. One of the most important conferences we attend are Mobile World Congress and Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, which happens in January. And the next conference would be, Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain, in February of next year. And we also go at other industry events that promote, our practice. So that's the next step in order for us to keep growing and keep talking to our partners and see how we can help them grow this ecosystem together.
Fantastic. Again, awesome having you on the show. And for our audience, if somebody wants to follow up and connect and follow your work, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think LinkedIn would be the best to reach me and see the work that we do. And you can always go to Accenture.com under the products and services tab and figure out what we do. It'll be good to connect in any vertical that you would like us to connect on, and go from there.
Fantastic. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over and check out your profile. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or listening to an episode, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what do we all learn from that so that we can all move forward together and grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or engaging or fun to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up for you on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Mayank, again, awesome having you on the show. Looking forward to bringing you back on once the book is live.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me today.